I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Matt Willis, we are back.
Oh my God, Matt. I'm so, so happy to be back. It's actually really nice to speak to you.
I never thought I'd hear you say that. This is the best day of my life. I'm so excited as well because obviously I do this podcast with you because I was a massive fan of Busted growing up and I still am. And today I get to hang out with all of you. This is amazing.
I know. Matt, I think we should have had a pre-podcast chat about the level of chill I want you to be because, sometimes, I don't mean this in an offensive way, but you can come across a little bit full on.
Oh,
so
okay.
Maybe... just if you can, for me, could you tone it down a little bit in front of my friends, please?
What? Just be a bit more... Oh, so sorry, which one were you again? Charlie. Oh, cool. Probably never been told this before, but you got cool eyebrows, but I don't think you know that, do you? Whatever.
That's
something like that, just like I don't know.
Yeah, if I were you, I'd stay clear of the eyebrows. It's a bit of a touchy subject. But that kind of level of chill and blasé would be great.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'll keep calling James the wrong name or something. It'll be fine.
That would not go down well either. I wouldn't do that.
Somewhere in the middle of where I am normally and the two things I've just suggested.
Exactly. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, but, if you could, just pretend you're someone else for a couple of hours and just be that bloke. That'd be great.
Okay, cool. It's not just exciting today because of Busted. It's also exciting because this series we are launching our Patreon, where you can get loads of extra content. We'll be talking to you more about that at the end. But if you want to sign up, you go to patreon.com/WNOW.
Yes. In fact, if you join the Patreon, you get a bonus confession by one of Busted instantly when you join, like which will not be on this podcast. It'll be an extra little tag on for the Patreon members.
I mean, I can't believe they confessed it.
You can't get arrested, can you, for something you've said on a podcast?
Potentially.
This Patreon is a terrible idea, Matt. Why did we even think of it? There is always one every week with everyone we interview that we're a bit like, we can't use that.
Yeah.
Or we got to drop that. But now we have a special place to put those little naughty confessions. The ones that shouldn't be heard by everybody.
Exactly. People always say to me, you can't put a price on integrity. And I said, you absolutely can. It's £3 to £12 a month.
Exactly. But more on that at the end of the show.
I mean, without further ado then, let's get cracking with our first episode.
Woo!
And it's Busted!
This is When No One's Watching.
The podcast where celebrities confess their guilty pleasures. And then we decide whether they're good, bad...
crack on and stop feeling embarrassed about it.
Or bad, bad.
Go straight to bed, no tea, and think about what you've done.
You might be asking why they tell us these things, and it's basically because we are guilty pleasures, aren't we? I'm Matt Richardson, Heat Magazine's Weird Crush of the Year.
And I'm Matt Willis, from Busted.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Hello, everyone, and welcome to When No One's Watching. This is Matt Willis, and Matt Richardson is here as well. How are you, Matt?
I'm excited. Probably the most excited slash nervous I've been for one of these podcasts because, you know, I made friends with you because when I was younger, even now, actually, I say when I was younger, like it's still not the case. I was a fan of your musical career, you know?
Yes.
When you're in a band.
You've let me know.
Really. And I'm excited because it's the band you're in today. That's who the episode is.
Yeah, I'm excited and nervous. It's like it's one of those things. It could be a wonderful experience, or it could be the end of the gift that keeps on giving to me.
Look, I mean, if you'd have told me when I was 17 I would spend an hour working out technical problems with all of Busted, I wouldn't have believed you. Or I'd have assumed I was working in the Apple store or something.
Well, we got there in the end, Matt.
We did.
Your dreams come true.
Very exciting. So we are joined by James and Charlie.
Hello.
And you.
Yes. So James is in LA right now in his house, and Charlie is in Surrey, and I'm in Hertfordshire, and Matt is in North London. So, my God, this is going well already.
Going well already.
I'm very excited about this. Now, obviously, Matt, how do you feel about the inside knowledge you're going to have about all these confessions today?
Well, I feel like I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know what their confessions are, but I'm pretty sure I could guess. Unless they're really dark secrets, then I would be surprised. But I think I know a lot about these guys. Like, we lived together since we were, you know, on and off since, you know, we were kids, you know, so it's kind of like, I think we know a lot about each other. And it's actually, I was thinking about it earlier on. I was like, shit, man, I can't really pretend to be anything else. You know, like, you can sometimes go on stuff and kind of put on a bit of an act and go, oh, well, I'm this guy. You know, these two fuckers will call me out immediately. Just go, shut up, Matt. So I'm a bit like, oh, God, I've got to be really me.
Now, I've got to ask, well, I've got a whole band here. Now, I've been doing, you know, live shows for a long time on tour and things. But really, I wanted to be in a band. I just didn't have any friends. And if you don't have any, well, these days you can just be Tom Grennan, whereas instead, like, I had to do comedy. So, like, when you're on tour, like, what do you ask for on your rider, number one? Like, I need to know all these cool bits about being in a band.
This is actually quite a good one.
Our rider is, like, has sort of deviated between the three of us now into very different places. And you could almost, I mean, like, also Matt's has changed from what it used to be to what it is now, obviously, with clean living.
Yeah. Now it's not fun.
I think you can tell so much about each individual member by their rider.
Matt did a picture once when we were on tour being like, guess the riders. And it was just, I looked at it, I was just like, oh my God, that is like, it's.
When you separate them, because it's all just together on a table. But when you actually go, oh, this is what I asked for. This is what Charlie asked for. And this umbungo and some fucking Cadbury's fancy what's-its are over there. You know, it's a very different rider. Like, mine is all, mine is nuts and protein powder.
Oh, for
and
sake.
Some protein bars.
Yeah, your enormous hemp protein jar looks so funny next to my umbungo drink.
Yeah. Umbungo.
Protein powder. I bet you don't even snort it.
It does look very suspect. It's a massive bag of powder.
Do you know what? That's the thing. Like, literally, I once travelled to America, right? And I got to the I got into the hotel in America, and I realised there was a bag of white powder in my suitcase. I was like, someone had opened that. Like, it looks fucking suspect.
Yeah.
And so you're like, glamorous. No, it makes you stronger. And they're like, we know what it does, mate.
Also, you had the stuff that thickens protein shakes, and that even looked even more suspect. I mean, that was just a big bag of white powder.
Xanthan powder. What's it called? No, was it xanthan gum?
Yeah, xanthan gum.
Yeah.
But you haven't tried a protein shake unless you've dipped it with a bit of xanthan gum.
Exactly.
So that's yours yours is all boring. James's is umbongo, and Charlie's is.
Mine's kind of like cheeses, wines.
Booze.
Yeah, booze.
Oh, yours is normal. You're a normal person.
Yeah. I mean, I'll...
See, is that normal?
Yes. Cheese and wine is a
normal... people have?
People have like cheese.
Cheese and wine?
Yeah, it's a normal thing.
Cheese? On a rider? No, that's not a normal
request. A little cheese platter.
A cheese board.
Maybe some hams. And,
mate, I mean... Look, when you're playing the Festival Theatre in Market Drayton to 85 people on a Tuesday, you get two bottles of water and they charge you back for them. So, you've got it better than me.
I will very much judge a promoter/establishment with the rider, because obviously, you know, you play different venues or different festivals. They, you know, what you ask for and what you get are often two different things. So it's almost like You turn up and there's like an open packet of crisps and someone shout on the table. I mean, it's not a great promotion.
Like those weird, when you get like a delivery from Sainsbury's and you've asked for tampons and they give you like a cucumber.
Why would you ask for tampons?
Well, I mean, I live with a woman. Like, that's what I like. They're not for me. Oh, they're great for nosebleeds as well. Well, I reckon, I think we should just crack on with this, Matt. Do you want to do the honours?
Let's do it. Right, okay, who are we going to go for first? I think we should go for Charlie first.
Oh, not me, not me.
Charlie, can we please have your first confession?
Okay, my first confession is that I have an obsession with smelling things and often new things, like something that will really get me going is like the inside of a new book or like electronic equipment is particularly good for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, it sounds so weird, but
it doesn't smell of anything. Does it?
Oh, it's so wrong, Matt. It's so wrong.
The 8 year olds who's made it blood or something like that. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, the next time you open an Apple product or something of that nature, like, it just has this smell, which is just so good. And I like part of the pleasure of opening new stuff. And it looks really weird. And so I've got to do it discreetly most of the time. But it's like, you know, when you open the stuff, it just smells so good. So I'll like take it around the corner.
Doing it discreetly. I mean, I've so many vivid pictures in my head of Charlie in the back of a van smelling the inside of CD sleeves.
Yes, dude, exactly right. Exactly.
That is a big memory for me.
Exactly.
You used to buy a CD, open it up.
Yes, and there
you properly get in there
I give it a good go.
Sniff.
And the thing with CD covers is that there's, you know, back in the day when people bought CDs, there was like different grades of paper. So you get cardboard and you know, the standard of paper would change depending on how much you wanted to spend on the, you know, on the packaging. And the sort of the more the band spent, the better the smell got.
Did you used to compare? So you'd get a new album one of your contemporaries, and you open it up and go, they're fucking skimping on this, aren't
they? That's exactly what I'd do. I'm not joking. Mate, that's exactly what I'd do. I'd smell it and think, oh, no, you went for the cheap B4A paper that time.
The budget on this one's not so good, is it, since they move labels? I have to ask, who was the
best smelling band?
I've got to say the best smelling band, and this isn't just because they're my favourite band, but Deftones' White Pony smelt amazing. It did because they like, when it first came out, they had a special.
What was the worst smelling band?
I don't know the worst smelling, because I guess it only gets as bad as just the shittest type of print, which still is good to me. I mean, like, that's the great thing about like smelling these kind of things. They always smell good because they're new.
Yeah.
The more I talk about it, the weirder it sounds.
It is. So, but is it the kind of thing where you're in a meeting, like, you know, you've gotten to know this, you're in a meeting for Busted or Fightstar or your own stuff. Do you sit and go, what grade of paper are we having?
Because I generally have those conversations.
Oh, you are into that kind of stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, it was a very big argument that we had about that, actually.
Really? About grades of paper?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went, don't you remember, we stormed in that time.
You can't make this cooler by saying you stormed in.
We stormed in, and it was really funny because I didn't really know why everyone was storming in, but I stormed in with everyone because I thought that's what we were doing. We went into the, and it was not only, I mean, I didn't like it either, by the way, but there was like fury in the band because not only had they used the wrong paper, they put ringtones on the back of the album.
Oh my God, that was a shocker.
What do you mean ringtone? Ringtone, okay. As in that you could text and download.
Okay, so basically
our album artwork. Artwork. It was like, we were like, wait, this was supposed to be like a cool picture or whatever. You get the album, you hold it in your hand for the first time and you take the booklet out, and on the reverse side, it's got ringtones.
Yeah, basically the back of the album sleeve was supposed to have like a little flyer that went in to say you can download the Busted ringtones or whatever. But the person doing our artwork, a poor girl, it was a lovely girl, but she really made a boo-boo, basically signed off on the fact that that was actually part of our artwork.
Oh, no.
And so it comes out and they printed
it. First time anyone has said boo-boo on your podcast.
but they printed like however many it was, week one, with this thing, and I mean, we went absolutely mental. And about
did
the
they,
smell of it.
Did they pull it?
They had to reprint. They sold them, but they had to then, I mean, it was...
Get it different for the other, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they sold them.
Yeah, they still sold them.
It wasn't that much of a big deal.
And also, those people might have bought the ringtones, and they're still paying £3.50 a week now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, as well as albums and books, like, and electronics, is it everything you buy, or is it these specific things?
I mean, if something new, I will tend to smell most things new. I wouldn't start, like... If it's new, it has to be new.
But not even a secondhand thing?
You've got quite into wine over the years as well, haven't you? So I can imagine that's like an extension of this, like sticking your nose in there and, you know, really giving it a waft.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and absolutely right. I mean, I love that. I mean, the aromas of wine, I mean, they really are incredible, you know? And it's like, yeah, I mean, I started doing this before I drank wine. I started doing this when I was about 12 years old. But you know, when wine came to me, it was only a natural thing to... it was a natural leap.
So you've got quite an attuned nose for all of this. So when you're smelling albums or books or whatever, like, this is a sophisticated piece of equipment. I
mean, it tuned my nose. It trained it.
Yeah,
well.
in a way. It sounds like it's a little bit like having perfect pitch in the taste sense. Right?
Exactly, James. Exactly right. That's exactly right. And my brother is incredible at it. I mean, these guys can smell a wine and tell what the soil was like in the summer that the vines were grown. So it's like
that's a skill, isn't it?
But you're the same with albums. So like, you can sniff an album and go,
oh, that's Idlewild's album, 1994.
And they argued 3 weeks in over the bass tone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the sad thing is about albums disappearing, obviously, or CDs. Is that you can't, you know, you should smell your iPhone every time an album comes out.
Well, you can, but like, they're dirty, aren't they?
I know.
But I think, you know, this is something that I like this as an idea, because I like buying, right, this is my weird one with this. I will always buy new sponges because I like the smell of a sponge. So I don't really use sponges like on my body or anything, but I'll buy one and then just have it just as a little treat. Every so often, I'll have a little smell of it in the bathroom cupboard.
Charlie, what I want to know is, right? Because I've never asked you this before, but what I want to know is that if when you sniff in these album covers, you know, when we see you sniffing the albums, and you love it, right?
Yeah.
If that sets you off, right?
Yeah.
What happens when you sniff something like a candle that's supposed to smell nice?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I mean,
are you like hyperreactive
I love nice smells. I love nice smells, obviously, but this is a different thing because, like, it's a very particular smell that you get out of this.
If there was an aftershave of the smell, I would be of a wearing CD that. Cover,
that's actually a really good idea.
It's a great idea.
You would be in your element, right? You would bathe in it.
Do you notice how people, like, do you take particular attention to how people smell as well?
Yes, I do. I do. And Matt always smells very good.
Matt always does nice. You know what Matt smells like? Matt smells like, in my life anyway, whenever Matt comes in a room, I go, guy, he smells like he's got a bit of cash.
Yeah.
You can't scrimp on aftershave.
I think Matt could pull off a Willis cologne.
I'm open for business. I'm open for business.
What like Matt's cologne would be called like digestive or something really boring because that's what he's into. Matt Willis, dietary.
Matt. Yes, James.
Matt, do you remember that time when were you there when I can't remember if it was Benji or if it was Joel, but one of them came in. I think it was Benji.
Good Charlotte.
Benji.
This is the coolest story I've ever heard already.
Yeah. Yeah, he came in the studio and I was like, you know, wow, you know, Benji, you smell incredible today. What perfume is that? And he looked at me really unimpressed, like with like anger in his eyes. And he was like, it's a musk. It's a musk. And I was like, yeah, but like, you know, like what musk is that? Because like, you know, I want to get that. That's a nice smell. And he was like, it's just Kiehl's musk. Just musk. But he didn't like that I called it perfume. But you know what? It's all the same.
He didn't like it. He also probably didn't like that you went and bought that cologne then and you wore it as well, James.
Well, I wanted
it to smell like Benji.
I did. I thought, you know, he walked in the room and there was an air of class in the air. Do you know what I mean? He was.
It does happen though. People who are successful do smell but better than people who aren't.
Is there a limit though? Is there a limit? Because if you smell someone too much, it's like, well, you just caked it on. Do you know what I mean? Is there a limit to how much you wear? I mean, is it a one spray? Is it a two spray? What is it?
It's got to mix with your own oils and your skin. It's a fine balance.
Because I don't think it's just, I think some people just smell good. I mean, like maybe it's the cologne plus something else, like the shampoo and
their pheromones or whatever.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, in the case of the Maddens, it's the, you know, they left Cameron Diaz's bed in the morning.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, James, that it was actually her perfume on him.
yeah.
I know. I would have been even more impressed.
Yeah. Dude, that's my wife's vagina. A very different conversation.
It's called There's Something About Mary. I don't want to sound like a smash hits journalist because I believe you're all way beyond that. But what is your favourite smell, Charlie, and then James?
My favourite smell, CD covers.
CD books, that's it, yeah?
I mean, that is... I don't know anyone else in the world who would have that answer. Not a single person on earth, if you asked them what their favourite smell was, not one single person would answer CD covers. Guaranteed.
I like that though.
Yeah, mine's the Krispy Kreme drive-in smell.
Oh, I mean, you're just flexing your Americanness there. That we don't have the drive-ins here.
There's one in North London. There's one in Enfield.
What? There's a drive-in in Enfield?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, I don't want to go
there.
To be fair,
I mean,
Enfield.
So the smell of Subway is amazing, and apparently they put that in. Apparently they pump that out.
Yeah, because Subways do not smell. They don't smell how they taste.
They don't, and also they taste like shit now. I mean,
Subway's
awful. We were offered shares in Subway when
really?
before anyone knew they were.
When we first earned some money, right? When we first kind of got paid, we got sat down in a room with someone who was like an investment guy. And they were like, right, so what I think you should do is put all your money into Subway. We were like, fuck off.
What Subway?
Is that true?
What Subway? Yeah, mate, true.
Fuck.
And he was like, Charlie was offered to buy a Ferrari. He was like, no way, I'm cool, thanks. You know.
He was like, there's this new sandwich shop. You know, this is like, because early 2000, 2001.
Yeah, Charlie's like, I don't think so. I'm buying a Ferrari this week.
Yes. Look, I mean, I've heard a rumour that you...
I invest in your sandwich company.
I did hear a rumour that you did buy a Ferrari.
I did. I bought a few cars, which I loved. Which I'm very happy about. And I don't regret, I mean, I lost a lot of money on cars because I'd buy them and I'd buy them new and then sell them. But I sell them quite soon after buying them. So that was silly. But
because Charlie likes the new car smell.
I like the new car smell as well.
He likes the smell.
No, seriously, I do. Oh my God. Oh, okay, so if you step into a new car, that is, I'm going crazy at that. I'm going
really?
Like,
that is...
Oh my God. The new leather in like an Audi. Oh my God. Or like.
So after 3 months, you're like, well, this Ferrari smells like bullshit now.
Yes.
Off it goes.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
It's far too common smelling.
Not that ridiculous, but yeah. It's
you should have invested in, I mean, in hindsight's 2020, isn't it? You know, I mean, Subway
is because at the time there was like one Subway in Kingston where I grew up. I was like, I'm not investing in some sandwich shop that there's only one of them. Now, then they were suddenly in every service station, everywhere we went, we were being mocked by Subway.
Oh yeah, and you know, I tell you what, Matt, when I drove from New York to Los Angeles, you've never seen so many Subways. There's equal as many Subways as McDonald's.
We could be billionaires.
There are more. It's Subway, the most popular of all the chains in America. They're the most popular.
But it's getting worse.
It's the one.
I mean, it would be hilarious if Busted had earned all their money from Subway.
Like,
Subway billionaires,
we're making music videos that are like way too expensive. You're like, how are they funding this?
It's like Happy Gilmore with the Subway sandwiches.
Now, because smell is quite important to you, Charlie, and you know you're all about smelling things, especially things when it comes to music. What about tour buses? How do they smell?
They usually smell like shit.
Shit.
Yeah, actual shit. Actual shit as well, but like, unless it's a new tour bus, you know, it's like, you know, but the first couple of days of tour, bus smells good, and as time goes on, just generally degrades to just a toilet smell. Just smells like a loo.
See, maybe I'm glad I'm not in a band.
And also, there's no number twos on the bus
ever. You're not allowed
there's
to
no
be
number
twos
on the bus, so you can't blame it on that. It's
everyone does.
It's just
everyone does, man.
And No, I don't. Have you done that, John?
Really? Don't you? No, I haven't.
Oh, mate.
Don't know. Wait, I'm going to be alone with Thomas.
Hey, Matt, now we know the answer to why that guy in America was like, remember when we were going on America or Busted on that tour bus? We now know that Charlie was the culprit when
Charlie was the secret poor on the tour bus.
Don't lie.
You know, I've been on tour buses before where the driver has got the band member to clean the fuck toilet out themselves.
Really?
So I told you not to do it. Like, I'm pretty sure that happened to Warped
Tour.
Like,
oh my
it was
God.
Like, you shit in the fucking, in the tour bus, you clean it out yourself. And
well,
I was like,
you know,
oh my God,
maybe that's, Matt, maybe that's why you've got such a mental diet now, because you only shit 3 times a year. Yeah, well, you know, I put butter in my coffee.
I'm regular as anything.
Yeah, I bet you are, mate. Three times a day, food.
It's 3 times a day good? I mean, what's normal on that as well?
I mean, I don't, at least twice a day.
Yeah, I think twice is
twice.
Good. I think twice is good.
Yeah, at least twice.
I have a little one every day, like a normal little one. And then every 3 or 4 days, like a clear out.
We see, I'm a breakfast, after breakfast guy. So it's like no matter where I am in the world, any day, breakfast. And as soon as that first bowl of, like, mouthful of cereal hits, I'm off. Do you know what I mean?
There's a turtle head poking out.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. It's good, though.
So
regular's good.
Yeah. Charlie Simpson says, regular's good. Now, Matt, what do you think about this smelling things? Is this a good bad or a bad bad?
I mean, do you know what? I mean, it is harmless. It is harmless. Like, you can't think... I mean, I used to think it was so fucking weird. I used to sit in the car watching... And also, like, there'd be a brand new Kerrang out and I'd see him so excited to go and get Kerrang magazine from the shelf and he'd unlock the plastic bag, get the magazine out, open up. Oh, and he looked so happy.
His little face.
So it did bring him joy and it didn't hurt anyone else. His little nostrils were so happy. You know, so I think this is good, bad.
Yes.
In fact, I miss it a little bit.
You know what? I mean, look, I'm a big sniffer and I like sniffing. When I open something that's new, like books especially are my big thing, like new books. But magazines, man, like when I sniff my copy of Airliner World, like it just makes me happy. So this is a good, bad from me as well.
Yes, yes.
Oh, Charlie, what? Charlie, I just realised something. Matt is the biggest fucking plane nerd.
Are you
into planes?
Like,
I love planes.
Oh, Charlie's a plane guy.
Oh my God. Yeah,
well, this is...
That's awesome, dude. Yeah.
Spin-off show.
Busted hadn't been together for years and we were taking a trip on a plane together for the first time. And I can't remember where we were going. I think we were going to LA, weren't we?
No, we're going to Pennsylvania. Where is it?
No, this was after, because we met you in New York for that.
Oh, yeah,
from Minneapolis. Yeah, yeah. We were going to LA.
LA,
and we were stood in a queue and Charlie looked really excited and really happy. And I was like,
good man.
Dude, you're right. And he was like that. Yeah, I've been really looking forward to going on the new Airbus 380 or whatever it was.
I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
BA? Was it a BA one?
It was, nice, lovely.
I actually
was really happy.
I've made a point to collect as many airlines who fly them as possible. So I've done like quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I will go out of my way to fly a flight to collect a new airline.
Oh, mate.
I'm
a fucking
loser, but I love it.
Yeah. I love it, mate. I love it.
This whole pandemic is really, mate, I'm really into it. It's really sad. Like, my girlfriend flies a lot for work. And whenever she flies, I'll go, you need to text me and show me a picture of the plane that you're on. And then she texts me like, look, just before all the whatever happened. And I was like, oh, that's Virgin's new Airbus A350. I was like, can you go inside and can you walk through each cabin and like film it so I can see what it's like inside? And she was like, as if I'm going to walk through every fucking cabin with my phone, like filming it. I'm like, but it'll make me so happy.
I'd want to do the same though.
Yeah, and she wouldn't do it for me. I was really disappointed. I love it.
Yeah, I love it, mate. Love it. I love it as well.
There we go.
So what do you think about this, Matt?
Look, I think this is good, bad. Things smell nice. And also, like, I think things like CDs and books, like, there's such a nostalgia there. And it's all about, like, the memories. Like, I imagine if you open Pony Now by Deftones, White Pony. Like, that smell will remind you of the first time you bought it. And it's a nice nostalgic thing. So I think this is good, bad.
It is. Yeah, it's very true, actually. Like, smell is a very nostalgic sensation.
Absolutely.
Because when you smell something, it can actually take you straight back to where you were.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad it's good, bad. It's good.
Right, we're going to move on next to James. What is your first confession, please?
My my first confession is I think I have the music taste of a 60-year-old man. I find myself listening to music that I know that no one else thinks is cool. But I just like it for some reason. You can't beat playing a game of pool in the house, playing some Kenny G. You just can't beat that. A bit of Kenny G, yeah.
I don't think I've ever listened to any Kenny G in my life. I mean, this is the first time I've ever heard.
I don't think I have either. I don't think I've
never. I know him from
a Wayne's World
reference, Kenny G. But I didn't actually realize he's a real person.
Well, it's just, you know, there's saxophone players and then there's Kenny G, you know. it's like, you know, it's just next level stuff. And having said that, he's also a lot smarter than Busted, because he was given the opportunity to invest in Starbucks early. And I think he gave them about $1 million and now he's fine. So He invested a million. Yeah, he's an early investor in Starbucks. When Starbucks was just...
Oh, sorry, I thought you said Subway.
Starbucks, yeah. Well, a similar thing. I mean, there was one Subway, right? And there was one Starbucks once upon a time in Seattle, right?
Right.
So he's a great musician. He's clever. He does what his money advisors tell him to do.
Is this just a Kenny G thing, or is this other stuff as well?
Give us some more examples, James. What other 60-year-old man music do you listen to?
Other 60-year-old man music. Bruce Hornsby. I like...
Nothing uncool about that.
Is that Bruce Hornsby in The Range?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. I mean, look at that. 3 years on a middle-aged man radio station really set me up for that one.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Virgin. So who else? So Bruce Hornsby, who else?
You know, just like people that, honestly, people that a lot of people have never even heard of. Only 60
well,
year olds.
Well, why don't you humor us? Like, don't presume.
Okay, so Jimmy Webb, when I went down to see him play in San Diego, I was the youngest there by about 30 years, but I loved it. It's quality stuff. And he's an example. I've been writing with this guy, Stephen Bishop, who wrote a lot of Phil Collins songs. And he's like, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's like 70 now, but he's also an artist. He was in that movie, The Blues Brothers. Do you know that? Remember that film?
Great.
Yeah. Oh, I love the Blues Brothers.
You know when the car spins upside down and then the guy goes, "They broke my watch." That guy.
No.
Right.
He's like a really legendary guy, but like, you know, no one below the age of 50 or 60 really cares. But I dig it. So.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
That's
what is it about this music that draws you to it then?
It's just real, you know? It's like, that's the best way I could possibly describe it. It sounds real. The instruments sound like instruments. The guitars sound like guitars. The bass player sounds like a bass player. And, you know, it's not all synthetic. You know, it's not all made on a computer.
Okay.
Lee Ritenour. Do you know Lee Ritenour?
No.
See, no one knows.
Yeah, we're doing an episode with him next week, Matt.
All right.
So you should.
And his confession, weirdly, one of his confessions is, I'm a massive Busted fan.
Yeah.
Get him on the track. Hey, Lee Ritenour. Lee, L-E-E-R-I-T-E-N-O-U-R. One of my favorite songs is by him. It's called Is It You? And he is one hell of a guitar player.
I mean, is that who you would say? Like, so if we, on our next record, were going to have one person in the world, it could be anyone, and it's James's choice who we collaborate with, who would that person be?
I'd love to get Kenny G on the track. I would love that.
How would you approach Kenny G to collaborate with Busted? Like, what? Like, how does that happen, James?
Well, actually,
like, what would you send him? What of your music would you send him to go, we're the band you need to work with?
Well, we've got saxophone on Night Driver album, so
we have
maybe some of that. But Kenny G plays saxophone in a very unique way. He's very smooth. He's very melodic. The way he goes between the notes, it's like a Kenny G style. So I think you'd have to, if there was a song that called for it. And there was a song that needed it, it'd be amazing to get him in that moment. Do you know what I mean? You'd not be perfect on this, bit of Kenny G. Be good to be able to just have him on it.
Do you know what this song is missing? Kenny G. That's going to come up a lot, I think.
And you know what? Like, that's what I felt about a lot of your output, guys. You know, you felt like you tried to address it a few times, but the lack of Kenny G is, it's been embarrassing over the years.
Need a bit of Kenny G.
Look, I remember coming to see McBusted, yeah, at Hyde Park, and I was thinking, yeah, McFly or Kenny G, you know? Yeah. Bustage or something like that you could do instead. Like, it probably won't say, you know, I don't know if Kenny G will
Busted
bring in the fame.
Busted G.
Yeah. You know, it's worth thinking about for the future.
Yeah, there's always next year.
I don't think that you've necessarily got a like an old man music suggest. Like, oh, that's quite cool, 60-year-old man music. Like,
I mean, Bruce Hornsby is so cool. I mean, he is just awesome.
He's, you know what? He's very hip and happening now because he's so uncool. He's come back round. But like, I thought you were going to say something like, I really like Donny Osmond or Cliff Richard.
See, that would be different.
That would be slightly different.
That would be different.
I do
that
feel a little bit like James here. And this is, you know, I think this is actually very good music taste. It's just you framed it wrong in your own mind.
Right. Well, I was just trying to come up with confessions.
I'm just trying to be honest, mate.
Guys, it's your show.
Look, mate. Let's not pull at the thread of this weak ass format.
I gave at least four confessions, and these were the two you came back with.
Well, then you know what? Good, bad. Thank you very much for the
good,
help.
Good, bad. Well done, James. Don't feel bad about it. It's great.
Thank you.
I think this is. Sounds like you've got very cool music taste. It's just you've got. It's quite deep cuts. Everything you like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's to be honest. It's just, you know, you just when you hear that music. I go off what I like, you know. I go off purely what I like and what I feel like I like. You know what I mean? And I think there is some things today. You hear certain records, and there's don't get me wrong, I do like a lot of new music as well. But I heavily lean towards, if I'm gonna just pick something just to listen to casually, I'm gonna lean more towards older stuff. But like, you know, some music that's new, I really like it. But then some music that's new, I'd be like, people can't like this. You know what I mean? Like, they must be pretending to like
They're
it.
They're all lying.
Who is this Dua Lipa, children? Is it weird? Do you ever look back now on, you know, when you were kind of like brand new as a band and people were going, well, how could anyone enjoy this? And now you're into stuff and you're like, oh, I've become the person
who's
yelling
exactly.
about us.
Exactly. I think that's right.
I think this.
You become that person now going, I don't see what this is all about.
Exactly.
I like my older stuff.
I empathize with all of the 35-year-old guys that hated Busted when we were 19.
Yeah. Yeah. Not helped by the fact that whenever they went to the supermarket, Charlie Simpson would get out of a Ferrari in front of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know, those 35-year-old guys at the time were listening to
a
older stuff, like Beethoven.
One day. Well, what do you think about this, Matt?
So we've gone with good, bad. I think this is good, bad. I mean, I like James's music taste. He blows me away sometimes. He plays me some stuff and I'm like, wow, that's really cool.
Matt, listen to Lee Ritenour.
Lee Ritenour.
Okay, I'm gonna listen to Lee Ritenour.
L-E-E-R-I-T-E-N-O-U-R. And listen to the song, Is It You?
Okay, I'm gonna do that after we finish this. And I'll text
And
you.
If you like it, on YouTube, there's some great live videos of him playing live. That's that same song.
Okay.
Very excited for Lee Ritenour's call from Spotify after this episode goes out, going, Lee, you got three more listens this week. A podcast mentioned you and it's really skewed your whole thing younger. Yeah. Like it's the start of something big for you. I think this is quite interesting because like I'm very much of the, like you're kind of my musical generation of that I would go, like, I liked your band. I really liked Son of Dork. I liked Fight Star. I like Busted. Like I like all of that. So for you to kind of go, I've got this music taste of a six-year-old, like, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. I understand what you're saying, but, you know, that generation of music for me was perfect, really, and no music. What they should have done is just after Warped Tour 2007, gone, no more music for anyone. We're done. We've finished this, and I'd be happy.
Yeah. James has got the music taste of a 60-year-old man. You've got the music taste of a 16-year-old boy from 2005.
I absolutely do, yes. And I'm having about as much sex, so it sort of fits in perfectly. No lockdown babies for me. So, I mean, it's good, bad, and I really like that you're into this stuff, considering it's so far away from what I know you as. So, yeah. You know, it gives it a lot of depth. Good, bad for me. What about you, Matt?
Yes, definitely good, bad for me. I love James's music taste. It's always intriguing.
Right, we'll move on. Charlie, can we have your second confession, please?
Yeah, my second confession is that I am a serial micro snacker.
This is a fantastic choice.
So obviously know what this is. What can you explain micro snacking?
So micro snacking is when you like to snack, but you realise that if you snacked as much as you want, you might lay on a bit of timber.
Okay.
And basically, so you let's say you have a chocolate bar, like a normal small dairy chocolate bar that you'll put in the fridge, and you'll have like one square every 2 hours till the end of the day, and you'll open one can of Coke or one 7-Up or whatever, and you'll sip it once every 2 hours until the day is out, and then you've snacked a lot, but on a tiny amount, and so you sort of end up feeling like you've had a lot of snacks, but actually you've only had about 300 calories or 200 calories. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I've never seen anything like it, Matt. Literally, like I've never seen anything like it. Like if you saw a bar of chocolate, delicious, and it'd be like a little nibble on it, and then he put it back. Like, I don't know anyone.
What an amazing
that does
level
this
of self-control.
I mean, but the thing is, it is self-control. But if you do it in a way that you think, oh, I fancy a snack, I'm just going to go and have a tiny morsel, then you feel like you're snacked, and you trick your brain to think that you've snacked. But it's weird because I feel like I'm someone that has good self-control with lots of other things, but with that I do. Like, do you know what I mean? And so it's like it perplexes me in a way. But it's like, I can do it.
I kind of have that in all areas of my life.
I know. Yeah. I think it's because like I put on weight a few years ago. I put on weight without realizing, and then a few of my friends started to say stuff to me, and I was like, that's weird. And then I didn't believe it because I was looking in the mirror thinking, I haven't put on weight, but I clearly had. I mean, I'd put on about 3 stone, but I didn't know that I had.
That's quite significant.
It is.
But when my
friends, you know, sort of told me,
don't know what they're talking about.
It crushed me a bit. And yeah. I was like, how did this happen without me realizing? So basically, I thought that's never going to happen again. And so I formed this micro snacking technique. And it's sort
you
of
invented, you formed a new eating technique.
Yeah, it just worked for me.
Yeah. You should write a book, Charlie. This would be a big diet book.
Yeah.
Charlie Simpson, micro snacking. I mean, I'm not lying.
No, please.
People are looking for the next fucking fad. This is
Charlie.
This is
please
huge.
Don't start a diet fad because I will have to hear about it no end from Matt Willis.
Well, the thing is, like Matt Willis taught me so much. Actually, like when Buster got back together, Matt actually opened the door to me for so much in regard to dieting.
Did he make
else.
You drink the salty water that makes you shit yourself? Did he do that?
Because... I mean, I didn't know anything about keto or any of these things, and I did a lot of research into it, you know, from Matt. And it is actually good to know, you know, good to know the science, because so many people come up with these, and the fad diets I think can be dangerous and they can be silly, but when you actually know the science, then and you come up with your own plan, then it can work well.
See what happens, Matt. Eventually, I can bore you into submission with it. Eventually, I will just like literally fill your brain with facts that you just go, he must be right. I mean, he knows. There's so much stuff coming out of his mouth that he must be right.
It wouldn't surprise me if Matt Willis came and spoke to me one day and went, mate, I've got this new way. You lose 2 stones straight away. It's called cutting off your leg. And a lot of people are talking about it. And it's really, like the science is sound. The worst one was, the first one he did to me, he went, I'll tell you what you need to do, Matt. It was right at the beginning of lockdown. He went, get a pint of water, 2 tablespoons of Himalayan pink salt, and you'll have a cleanse. You'll shit all day. It's going to be great. And it's probably the worst 12 hours of my life.
Oh, you know, really?
And the thing is, I finished shitting and like I weighed myself the next day and I weighed like the same. It was such a waste of time.
It's not a weight loss thing.
Now
it's
you like, tell me.
It's like, and also, actually, do you know what? To be fair, I've actually read some stuff that's probably not.
Oh,
that
great,
good for
brilliant.
You anyway, but I wanted you to do it because I think it's so fucking funny.
Matt, like recording our second album, Matt went on the all meat diet.
He's
like,
on it again. He's on it again. He's
and the
fucking
fart,
on it again.
The farts that come out of that times. Man are just like it's just hell shat in your face. Like. You know, yeah. I mean, it's quite extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is quite extraordinary. I do have a tendency to be experimental, shall we say, with my nutritional
The thing is, Matt,
techniques.
Like, look, you've had a lifetime's worth of, like, fun. So now you try and make things that are, you know, like diets. You're like, right, how can I ruin this for myself as well? That's what it feels like. Like it's like, basically, I think with you... You're like, right, okay, I'm into this. How can I complete it? That's sort of the vibe you get with everything.
That's kind of it.
With everything.
That's kind of it. Because it's not about weight loss. It's not about like, just, I don't want to be like slim. I'm like, I want to fucking be optimal. I'm like, how can I be the best human on earth? You know, and like, then I can be
amazing. Do you know what the answer is, mate?
You know, so I think that's where it's coming from. Anyway,
micro-snacking.
What's that? But the thing is, this is the problem, right? Is that some people can do moderation and some people can't. Charlie, your level of moderation is unbelievable. Like, literally, I've seen this guy open a can of Fanta, right? And like, cold can of Fanta. He's thirsty. So he's opened a can of Fanta and he's this. And he'll put it back in the fridge. Like that, and then come back to it the next day. The next day, it'll be like, oh, great.
If I saw someone do that,
little sip, put it
I
back.
Would be like, well, that person is clearly a serial killer of some sort.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The Fanta murderer. Fanta.
And then he starts sniffing an album. I mean, you're like, who's this guy? It's weird, man. I didn't say it wasn't weird, but it's, you know.
This is weird. Like, you know what? When you first said it, I was like, oh, that's not odd. But the more I think about it, it's so... It's
and coupled with the CD sniffing.
It's really weird.
Yeah. It's the little tiny nibbles as well. It's the little kind of like...
But so you wouldn't open like, say, little, you know like rabbit nibbles. What they call, obviously, in quotes, a share bag of M&Ms. You would just have like an M&M and then be fine.
Yeah,
you wouldn't
two.
Just finish it.
No way. And that's the thing. That's why I find it crazy. Like Matt would say he could eat an entire tub of ice cream in one night. I can't even fathom that idea.
Oh,
like,
I could easily do that.
I can't go anywhere near that stuff. Like literally, if I have a biscuit, I'm fucking snorting ice cream sugar by 11 p.m.
Yeah, but,
like,
but
everything
the thing is, but then
is
then
going
I,
right.
Sucking off Mr. Kipling for a gram of biscuits.
No, but if I have a glass of wine, then I could polish 2 bottles off. Easily. So it's not as if my it's not about my self-control, because my self-control is absolutely rubbish. you know, when it comes to...
So this is a let's not get fat again technique.
It is, exactly. And so sometimes, right, okay, maybe it's a good thing to...
Yeah, maybe it's vanity.
It's not vanity.
So you were fat shamed.
I was fat shamed.
You were fat shamed by your friends. Yeah. You were fat shamed by your fucking friends.
I think there's a magazine called me Chunky Charlie, I think.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
Oh. I was once called the Porky Pop Star.
James,
I'm in one of my friend's phones as Porky Popstar. Every time I ring, that shot from fucking whatever magazine it was with Porky Popstar underneath it comes up.
But the thing is, mate, I think if you're shocked like that into acting, it stays with you. Do you know what I mean? It stays with you. And
yeah, 100%.
You're right. It's almost like post-traumatic
Porky
stress
Popstar
disorder.
Pops into my head every time. Yeah. Every time I'm beer fucking neck deep star. In the biscuit tin. Yeah, beer mat and Porky Popstar.
Has James, have you ever ended up like this, James, or are you the only one who kind of is normal and can doesn't have to be shamed in a magazine?
Are you kidding? Are you joking? I'm the worst. I'm the worst out there.
James loves a little treat.
Have you got a sweet tooth?
Listen.
Oh my God, James
is chocolate.
James
I would win
chocolate
the
habit is.
Ice cream eating contest. I would win it. Hands down.
Man. Yeah. I've seen James eat an entire, like, family bar of Marvelous chocolate in about...
Marvelous Creations.
Creations, yeah.
You know those big Toblerones that you get at the supermarket? Yes. The really big ones. The big ones.
Yeah, big ones.
The ones that are meant for, like, Christmas.
No. That would kill you. The Christmas one.
I tried.
The Christmas one, no. I mean, the ones they have year-round, but they're big. They're big bars of chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. A good Father's Day bar that you'd buy for your dad,
The one down from Christmas time.
Okay. Yeah.
I will get one of those. And I live maybe 2 minutes from the supermarket. It will be gone by the time I get to my front door.
Oh, see, I'm the same as that. I've actually got at the moment, as a little reward for finishing, I've got a donut sat in front of me, ready for this to be done. So I can go, that was a good job, Matt. Yeah, because I've already had two other donuts today. Go on, what have you got?
Do you know what I've got?
I don't know. You're going to put vegan butter up your ass for a fucking colonic? I don't know.
I've got some zero fat Greek yogurt, which I've put 2 scoops of birthday cake flavored protein powder in, and I've mixed it up together and put some frozen berries in, and I've put it in the freezer. And in about 2 hours, it's going to be like the most delicious thing.
Matt, you look like you're so enthralled by it all.
You know what? If this is the kind of conversations that happen from a basis, no wonder Kurt Cobain killed himself. Like, that's like, this is not what I thought being friends with a rock star would be like. Oh, well, you can get birthday cake protein powder. What? Like, come on, mate. I wish I'd asked Dougie to do this with me. I can't lie. Like, this is not the fun I thought it would be.
I mean, occasionally, Matt, like, the thing is, what Charlie will stand by is there's the odd time when I'm all in.
You know, you're all like, or nothing.
There's the time.
Oh, my God.
When suddenly we can go, right, let's go for it.
I mean, I'm sorry. You know, when Matt goes, I've never seen anything like it. It is like an Olympian, like three Olympians running at the same target. It is incredible.
The Usain Bolt of everything. Yeah.
So, Matt, how do you feel about micro-snacking? I know you're new to it. How do you feel about it?
Look, I think it's one of those things where, for me, it's an aspirational thing because I get it, but I couldn't ever have the discipline to do it. So it's good, bad, but I just can't see it ever being part of my life.
No, I can't see it.
But the thing is, if you get your frame of mind right, it's like you still feel like you're snacking a lot. Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm not denying myself the pleasure of the taste. The taste is there. It's just on a minute level.
It's innovative.
Psychological.
It's psychopathic.
I think there's probably, these days, you know, everyone expands into every area of entertainment. So you're not just a musician, you've got a book out, you're hosting a show. I think maybe there is a book to be written here for
you. Do you?
Yeah, I think probably.
I think there is a book to be written here. But the thing is that it won't work for me.
No.
It won't work for me. It would be an absolute catastrophe. So I can't go with good, bad for this.
I think it's
bad.
Because I thought that was going to happen.
Denied.
It's just too weird for Willis. It's too weird.
It's Willis, bad. Later on.
I don't understand. Cannot compute.
Later on, Willis, what you should do is you should go and get your low carbohydrate, zero fat yogurt and just have one spoonful. Oh, lovely. Put that back. I'll have the rest of that tomorrow when I've done a good job. Well done.
I'd rather have all of something bad than a little of something
good. And just go, well, I've already fucked it, so I might as well just crack on.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a bad, bad for me. Matt, what about you?
I mean, it's a good bad. It's, like I said, it's made me respect Charlie more, actually, because, like,
excellent.
You know, I think his work's great. I think his work ethic's good. His output's been great over the years. And now I think, God, what a controlled, you know, well-disciplined man. Now, look, James, Charlie, we've loved having you on. This is probably my favourite episode of this. I've really felt part of the gang.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, I've been working with Matt now. We've recorded, what, like 30 episodes of this podcast or something, and I've known him for a few years before that. But I've never really, you know, found out much about his weird things that he gets up to and the things he does that you think might be weird. So is there anything about Matt that he should be admitting to on this?
I've got some funny stuff.
Oh yeah, go on, James.
Right. So
he's gone fishing.
So like, the memory. I'm accessing the memory banks. Right. So the other day, I was just like scrolling through my phone, and I would occasionally find like a video, and it'd be like just Matt's asleep, right? And I was like, I realized when we were making our album, and we did writing sessions. I got into the habit. What a fun thing I used to do. I used to collect videos of Matt sleeping at the studio. Yes.
Matt can sleep. Matt can sleep anywhere, anytime.
Is that Matt's thing? You can sleep anywhere, anytime.
I am Captain Nap.
So Matt was like, I remember this, like, I didn't love the idea, but you know, you're in a band, so it's like, part of being in a band is you listen to other people's ideas. So it's like, okay, you know, like Matt's like, guys, yeah, wouldn't it, you know, we'll go up with DJ Fresh. So we go to work with DJ Fresh. DJ Fresh, by the way, really cool guy.
Very cool guy. He's from down the road from me, where I grew
nice,
up. Good man.
Nice girlfriend, nice house, nice guy, cool studio on a farm in Oxford. We get down there. We're like, wow, like we're right. And Matt, I'm like, where's Matt? I walk outside. I'm like, Matt, where are you, Matt? And he's asleep in his G-Wagon.
You know what? Nothing sums up Matt Willis and his career more to me than being asleep in a G-Wagon.
It's like, come on, it's like, I really wanted to wake Matt up and say, look, Matt, come on, man, you've brought us here. Like, you need to wake up and come out of the G-Wagon.
Get out of the G-Wagon. We have a lot of those problems on the podcast.
Is that there is... There is a certain amount of nap which is perfect, right? I haven't
napped before. Hang on, I've made napping boring, by the way. Oh my God.
I've made napping boring. So it's a technique to be more optimal, is that you can win the nap amount of time. It's called one sleep cycle. It's perfect. So you don't go into deep sleep, but you have just enough rest. So you're back awake again. So what I would do is I would have kind of like a coffee or a Red Bull or something and drink that and then turn my sleep app on, which would play me binary tones, which would be like, that sounds like you're in the womb.
So you've made the womb boring as well now. Brilliant.
The womb boring. And they would play me to sleep, and I would go to sleep for about 27 minutes, and then it would slowly wake me up, and then I would feel amazing.
You'd been in a womb, and then you just like come out.
I'd been in a womb sleep.
You've been in the womb for 27 minutes.
For 27 minutes, and I'd come out like a brand new human.
Sounds dirty. Sounds dirty.
I mean, fantastic. I had a two-hour nap earlier, and I woke up feeling awful.
2 hours too much.
I felt awful. And I'd had a dream.
It's a mistake.
I'd had a dream about rescuing a goat that was wearing a shirt and tie and a little jumper that was a vest. So maybe I need to listen to you a bit more because it really messed up my day, that horrible image.
Yeah, that's 2 hours is a mistake. Anything over 40 minutes is too much.
So Matt's confession on this podcast, super relatable for the listener, is that he falls asleep in his G-Wagon too much.
Yeah, exactly.
When he's supposed to be working.
He sleeps on the job. Quite a lot, James.
He sleeps on the job in his G-Wagon.
Yeah. You know what? I already thought at the beginning of this podcast, when, you know, one of us is in Surrey, one's in Hertfordshire, one's in LA, and one's in North London, I was like, you know what? We should rename this podcast Men of the People. But now we brought the G-Wagon into it.
Oh, well, it's good to hear about him, you know, because I do. It's this weird thing because we've been kind of doing this for, well, nearly a year now. We've been kind of working on this together and we've been talking about it for longer. But I feel like I've met his, I'm the side girl that's met his real girlfriend for the first time, having met you both.
Yeah, exactly, mate.
So it's good to know about, you know, that he might fall asleep in the G-Wagon. So, you know, I better not get in it.
Well, when you know now that when he's sleeping in the G-Wagon, you know that that is, that's just,
it's just, it's not me, it's him.
It's not you, it's me. Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you. I mean, falling asleep in the G-Wagon, I think, you know, you fall asleep in whatever car you want. I'm very happy falling asleep in my Fiat Grande Punto 2006. So you sleep away in your G-Wagon. That's not my car. It's just the car I officially have to be relatable. And I think it's good, bad. You sleep where you want. You know, you need your beauty sleep.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, man. Exactly, I do.
Guys,
I do.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's been genuinely an absolute joy to have you on. I've had so much fun.
Thank you so much.
I've loved this. Guys, thank you so much for doing this. I miss you fuckers.
Yeah, man.
Look, and when the band reform, if you need a new drummer, I can learn very quickly.
Can you play the drums?
Can I fuck? I can play bass, though, so if you ever need to replace Matt Willis.
Have you got a G-Wagon?
I don't have a G... I can get one very quickly on lease. My mate Emma told me how to do it, so I can tap her up.
Do you have a big, big jar of hemp protein?
Look, I've got a big jar of powder. I'll bring it on tour. Whether it'll make us muscly or not, we'll work that out later on.
Do you have 2 tablespoons of Himalayan pink salt?
I do. I absolutely do. And you know what? I'll put it in the bath and I'll make that weird as well, like Matt does. honestly, this has been...
I do.
Oh, I know you do. And you try and win the bath. You're a fucking nutter.
I do. I'd win the bath.
I have it on as hot as possible.
Yeah, man. I've enjoyed this. I've enjoyed this.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Awesome,
miss
dudes.
You guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Soon.
Guys. My 1 o'clock's here, so I'm going to have to bounce.
We're
guys.
Done. Thank you very much.
So that was it. That was busted. Matt, can I just say, well done.
What for? I don't know what you're on about. I was pretty... I don't care. Who cares about busted? No one.
Well, you know, I'm not going to lie. I was worried.
I can't even say that. Yeah, I can't even say that out loud. Obviously, I really care about busted. I just don't want that to be out in the universe anywhere. It was really difficult for me, but an amazing, amazing thing. I loved it so much.
You did a really good job. Do you know, I had fun as well. It's nice to see him. My favourite moment was James walking off to do something and finding out he was in his pants.
Yeah, I know. Kind of took the sheen of showbiz away from him slightly for me, but I thought it was very grounding.
I mean, if he ever had a sheen of showbiz, it was taken away at that moment.
Now, thank you very much for listening to the first episode of season 2 of When No One's Watching. We, by the way, are on Patreon.
Whoop, whoop.
Now, there are 3 tiers on our Patreon. You can sign up and this is what you get. Matt, what's in tier 1?
Tier 1, we are calling Good Bad, which in turn you get to support the podcast and get your guilt fix ad-free direct to your podcast app every week via your very own RSS feed. I don't know what that means, but
no
it
one
sounds
does.
Really cool.
No one knows
and,
what it means,
like,
Matt.
Really impressive. Money goes towards rehabilitating living guilty pleasures, Richardson and Willis, so that they may one day be accepted back into society. You get ad-free episodes. You support this podcast.
Our second tier is Bad Bad, which is £5 a month. For that, you get the ad-free version and you get to support us both. But you also get a bonus celebrity confession you cannot hear on the regular podcast. Isn't that right, Matt?
That is right. And that's usually for a reason, meaning it's usually a career-ending confession.
So we've put it behind a paywall.
Which we take out... for legal reasons and to save them their dignity.
Yeah.
But on this way, no one knows, so we can just put it in. Yep. You can hear it.
And as well as that, we and our celebrity guest often, not always, but often, go through your confessions you've sent to Matt and I anonymously. If you have a confession to send in, send it to @WNOWpodcast on Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah, so basically you get judged by us and whichever celebrity guest we have on that show.
Whoever we've managed to book, whoever was available for the price we pay. And there's one final tier as well, if you're a hardcore When No One's Watching fan.
Yes. Now, this tier we've decided to call Total Wrongin'. This is £10 per month. Go down in history and get our exclusive Patreon-only spin-off show, total wrong-ons.
Ooh.
Now, this is a very own podcast. We're going to make a spin-off podcast just for the people that are in this tier.
Yep.
And we're going to go through history, find out people who did things when no one was watching, and we will judge them accordingly.
Absolutely. £10 a month and you get a podcast that you can't hear anywhere else. And we've decided to throw in like a bit of merch as well. I'm going to give you a Matt Richardson tour poster signed
by me.
By Matt Willis. Just you don't want to devalue it by having my signature on it, really, do you?
No.
So that is everything you can get on our Patreon. You can sign up at patreon.com/WNOW. Thank you very much for listening to When No One's Watching. Please make sure you subscribe and leave us a review. Next week, we have Laura Whitmore, the host of Love Island, on the show.
I cannot wait to hear what she's got to confess. What about you?
Oh, I bet she's not so squeaky clean when we're going to find out everything.
Yep, another career ender by When No One's Watching. We'll see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.